All right, good morning. Well, it's so good to be back again. Heidi and I were talking before we came, and we were really looking forward to coming back to your church and being with y'all, because it's just getting to know your pastor and his family and many of you. We really enjoy it, and we just the spirit that's here, and we are excited before we got here about being here, so we're grateful to be back. Thank you again for partnering with us, helping us get the word of God out to those that desperately need it. You know, it takes a lot of people to get accomplished what we're trying to get accomplished. It takes a lot of churches to do so. You know, last year in our C-Line churches, we were able to cover the cost and assemble over 10.5 million copies last year. We have about over 220 churches involved in this ministry. And I can tell you this, there's not many churches are doing some astronomical amount that you might think is happening. It's just churches doing what they can. And we certainly appreciate that. And so, again, it's good to be back. And I was in Sunday school class with Pastor Sunday school class this morning. I really enjoyed that, the lesson there, and his heart for that, and his heart for studying the Word of God out. You know, he was telling a story about a snake, about the cobra, and when he was in Uganda, and how it was, the cobra was, would it stand about this tall, you said, something like that, and kind of going on, and I thought he was going to end the story, and this is how God called us back to the States, but it wasn't, enjoyed being there this morning, enjoyed the past couple of days being with many of you, and thank you for those that are able to come out, thank you for those that have been able to financially give as well. You know, it does take money to print the Word of God, to get paper, and all the things it takes to do so. And so we are grateful for your partnership with it. And excited to be back again and look forward to the next time. As Pastor said, you guys are overachievers. We did way more than I expected to do. And so, again, grateful for that. And I don't know if I mentioned this last time or not, but on the back, so you can't see them on the back side of all these boxes, it has the language, it has the quantity, and it has your church's name on there. And so to me, that's always exciting that the missionaries know and the national pastors will know who's partnering with them, that there's people coming alongside of them to help them with the task that they've been given, the assignment that we've all been given to share the gospel with the lost world. So your church is on. Now, when they get there, they might not be able to read it because it's in English, but they can use Google Translate, I guess. But this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. Luke chapter 5. As Pastor mentioned again, that these scriptures are going to two different places. Again, the pigeon English parallel John and Romans that we were able to accomplish. Make sure you know this, is that these are going to be going very, very soon. And so we had a request for 200,000 of these, and these are the last of them that will be getting assembled, and then they'll be going out in March, the week of March 3rd. Could be as early as March 3rd, but it'll be definitely going out that week. And so these will be going out very, very soon. And so they'll be going out there. And then the Hindi, I should say this about the pidgin English as well. They are going to be going over for a campaign. So it's a ministry called Campaigns for Christ that requested these scriptures. They're going to be going to a missionary there in Papua New Guinea. His name's Chad Wells. So what's going to happen is these have to get there in time before the campaign. That's why such an urgency to get them there. And they'll have many people from the States and other places helping them do a distribution of the scriptures in certain cities there, I'm sure, in villages. And then they'll have a couple evangelistic meetings that they'll invite people to evangelistic meetings as well. And so, Lord willing, they'll see many people saved through it. And so that's exciting to think about that, how God's going to use them there. And then these Hindi ones, I was so excited that we were able to print these. This is the first printing of these Hindi that we have. Again, it's just the gospel according to John, but that's better than what we've had, which has been nothing. And I tell you what, I get so many calls for different languages all the time. You know, we live in a world where anybody can get a hold of you in different ways, you know, whether it's WhatsApp or just text and emails and Facebook Messenger, all kinds of ways. And when people that I don't even know a lot of times will contact me for scripture all around the world. And unfortunately, a lot of times I have to say, you know what, we don't print that. We don't have that. We don't have an accurate copy of those scriptures or access to those scriptures. And so one of those has been for a long time is Hindi. And so I am so grateful now that we can print it and we have some printed and ready to go. I looked it up the other day. About 476 million people speak Hindi in their heart language. And so what a great opportunity there is. And, you know, if there is somebody, there probably is, it probably would be rare that somebody in the States would speak Pidgin that you would know in this community, but maybe there is somebody in Hindi, and before I leave, if you want a couple copies, just let me know. I always tell people when they ask me about for copies, the scriptures are working, I said, as long as you're not going to keep it for a souvenir and you have someone that you can give it to, I'm all for you taking some and using it, okay? So keep that in mind as well. And so really excited about, again, these scriptures and where they're going to go. You know, when a pastor mentioned that somebody's going to get the Word of God in their language, when he said that, and I say it all the time, it just gave me a chill up my spine. Because I think about all the time, just like I could not recognize that Hindi if it was John 3:16. Just think if that's all we had. Us sitting in this room, that's somebody brought us the Word of God and they brought us the Hindi, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we? We wouldn't understand any of it. And so, one, we should be privileged and grateful that we have the Word of God in our language this morning, the complete Word of God, as Pastor mentioned as well, that we have the whole book. But I'm grateful that we can have get these Gospels, according to John, to the people there, and they'll have at least a portion of the Word of God that's going to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And just grateful for that. Would you stand this morning for the reading of God's Word, if you're physically able to? We're going to be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass that, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Oh, depart from me, for I am sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for yourself. Thank you for your goodness and grace to us, Lord. Thank you again for allowing us to come to your house today and worship you. Lord, help us to not take that for granted, Lord. Help us to not take it for granted that we have the Word of God here today in our heart language, Lord, in a language that we can understand, Lord, that speaks to us the best way. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I pray you'd help us to have an appreciation for that. I pray that you would help us to maybe desire to be in your word more, Lord. because of it. Lord, I thank you that you can accomplish much through your people. Lord, help us to see that today, this morning, that you have a desire to use us, Lord, and that you have a desire to use your church, your local church, Lord, all around the world for your glory, Lord. God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. We would hear from you alone and that you would receive the glory for it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't want to worry you this morning, but I have 7 points to this message. But don't worry, we'll be going through them fairly quickly this morning. We won't stay anywhere particularly long this morning on it. But this passage, and we know we've heard it many of times before, and one of the things that really stuck out to me in this this text was in verse 7 when it says, "And they beckoned unto their partners." And they beckoned unto their partners. And that's the title of our message this morning. But as I was going through the text, there's just so much here that I just wanted to share this morning. So again, that brings us to 7 points that we have this morning. So we're going to go by verse and see what the Lord has for us this morning. In verse 1, if you would look at that again, the Bible says this, says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." It's the Sea of Galilee. And so as I look at that verse, what I see there and what I get from it this morning is this, is that people are interested in hearing the truth. That people are interested in hearing the truth. You know, I believe more than ever in the time we live in that people want to hear the truth. You know, there is so much today that is artificial, it's unreal, we're so unsure of, that I believe that people just want to hear the truth. I mean, you think about, we live in the world of what, AI, artificial intelligence. We put labels on these things like fake news. We think about social media and an Instagram world, and people portray themselves not exactly how life truly is sometimes. And so I believe people really want to hear the truth. John 14:6 tells us what? Tells us Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so we know this, that Jesus is the truth. And I pray this morning that you know the truth. I pray that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's no greater truth than we can know than Jesus Christ himself. There's no greater peace that we could have than knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and that he gave his life for us. And he's given us so much. And there's no greater truth that we could have and no greater truth that we could share than that. And again, that's why we did what we've been doing the past couple of days, so we could share that truth with others. In verse 2, if you'd follow with me this morning, it says, and it goes on to say this, "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered," and he being Jesus, "and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." You know, he wanted to use Peter's resources. And my second point this morning is this, is that God's work can move forward when people give up their resources. God's work can move forward when people give up their resources. Sometimes God wants to use our resources. I want you to think about this. This boat that Peter had, and you might have stuff like this, and you might be someone that's gracious to loan things out, but there's probably a few things that you're probably like, you know what, I'd just rather not loan that out because of, I'll give you an example. A lot of times people want to use my truck to go move something, the truck that we have here that we use for the big trailers. Now, it's a one-ton diesel pickup, and so it's made to move very heavy things. It's not really made to move somebody's couch around, and it's a very expensive item, and it's, you know, one of the things I'm always afraid of is loaning my truck to somebody and then being a blessing and putting gasoline in it instead of diesel fuel, and that would cost me a lot of money, And so for me to give up, it would cost me something possibly. But God's work can move forward when people give up their resources. And this boat, that Peter's boat, it wasn't his ski boat. It wasn't his recreational boat that just sat in the garage. This was his work boat. I mean, this was his livelihood. This is what he did. And God's work can be accomplished through other people's resources. I think about all the times that I've traveled and really got into a bind and really needed help moving forward, whether it's finishing a project or getting to my next destination. There was times when I didn't have a newer truck to do that with. I had an older truck, and so something was always happening on the road. And so I'd always go to a church, and somebody would be able to, that was familiar with working on diesels, they would be able to help me out and get me off to the next place. And so they used their resources. They maybe had a garage or something like that they could use. Or there's been people that have very electricians that have helped me in a bind on the road and helped me move forward again to getting his work accomplished. So my question this morning is this: are you willing to let God use what he has given you to use for his purpose? Are you willing to let God use what he's given you to be used for his purpose? What do you have that could be used? What kind of resources do you have? What kind of talents, abilities, funds, whatever it may be, what do you have that can be used for God's work? Verse 4 this morning, the Bible says this, says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." When I look at this text here, I have a few thoughts this morning, but I'll give you my point here first. God gives specific instruction for a reason, and we should obey it. God gives specific instruction, and we should obey it. You know, we always don't know everything. I mean, we think we know everything, but we don't. My other question for you is this: have you ever answered God with a dumb answer? Have you ever answered God with a dumb answer? I think about Peter here and what he's telling Jesus, and I'm thinking, man, that's a dumb answer. I mean, what should his answer be? To say, just be, yes, Lord, we'll do it. But he had to give his two cents in there, I guess. We've done this, you know. I don't know about you, but I know I have. I'm sure there's times where I've answered God with a dumb answer, and it just happens. But he's given us specific instructions, and we need to obey it. He tells them here in the text, he says, launch out into the deep. He's given them a specific instruction, a specific place to take the boat. He says, launch out into the deep. And when I read this, it reminded me of another text that's very similar in John 21, verse 6. If you would turn there with me real quick, stay in Luke, John 21. Kind of a similar situation. John 21 in verse 6. And let's start in verse 3 here. John 21, verse 3. It says, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So very similar here. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. In verse 6, it says, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it up for the multitude of fishes." You know, when I read that verse in 21 before, I always wondered why he said, put it on the right-hand side. Why not the left-hand side? Why not off the bow? But regardless, he gave specific instructions. He said, off the right side. And here in this text, he says, launch out into the deep. And again, we need to be able to follow the specific instructions that God has given us. Can I tell you, we as Christians don't always follow the specific instructions. Either we just totally ignore the instructions, or we just kind of breeze over it and follow part of the instructions. You know who's really bad at it? Is guys. We're terrible at following instructions, right? We know how to do it. How many times have you put something together? You don't look at the instructions. You end up with 5 extra bolts. You're like, oh, they must have sent extra stuff with this. Or something at the very end is like, something ain't right here. So you got, what, tear it all apart? Oh, I guess I'll look at the instructions. And so, you know, we're not very good at that. And we're not very good at it as Christians. And I'm just telling you, God has given us specific instructions. And I think about that when it comes to what we do and when it comes to things like local church Bible publishing. And I last time I was here, we talked a little bit more about that. And just really that God has put his work in his people's hands, you know. And we need to remember that. And there's a reason for that. There is a reason for that. And we think about that when it comes to missions and these type of things. You know, they were obedient to that instruction. And we don't always understand that reason. But we should nevertheless say what? At thy word, we should follow his word. Even though we don't might understand why he gave us specific instructions, it might not make any sense to us, but we should follow his instructions, his specific instructions. We should follow his word and what it says and what it has for us. In verse 6 this morning, it says here, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. My fourth point this morning is this. God gives us specific instructions, and when carried out, always brings fruit. Think about that. God gives us specific instructions, and when carried out, always brings fruit. And I would add this as well, that there is always blessings in the work. There is always blessings in the work that he has given us. Think about this. These guys were fishing all night long. And in the morning, what did they have to show? Zero. They had zero. They had nothing. Not even a fish. That had to have been very discouraging. That had to have been very discouraging. And here, here's Jesus saying, you know, tell them where to fish. And you know, there's a reason they fish at nighttime, because that's the best time to fish. And he's telling them, you know, go out into the deep. And then also, let's do it during the daytime. They're like, okay. But then what happened? They went from zero fish to having a great multitudes. Great multitudes. That's amazing. They did exactly what he said, and bam, there's more fish than they could handle. I think about churches that I go to all the time that they really cranked up their missions program, or they got involved involved in local church Bible printing. They partner with us in some way, whether it's Seedline or giving towards paper for whole Bibles, whatever the case may be, that they've come up to me and say, Brother Chad, our church has been blessed ever since we cranked up our missions, or ever since we got involved in the Bible publishing, you know. And that's so exciting to hear. God has blessed their church, and I believe it That's being obedient to God does that. Being obedient to what he has for us to do, following that instruction that he's given to us, it brings fruit. It brings fruit. It not only does it bring fruit to those on the receiving end, but it brings fruit to us that are able to be on the giving end as well. Verse 7 this morning. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Point number 5 this morning is this: God gives us partners to help with the load. God gives us partners to help with the load. Thank God for partners that can help with the load. In front of us, 31,000 copies of Scripture, more than we were planning on getting accomplished. You know how that happened? With partners. I'm sure you've heard this before. Many hands make light work. If it was just Pastor and I or a couple of us, we'd be doing more than pushing buttons. there would be more than we could handle to do. But thank God that people came out and got to be a part of it. And many hands make light work. And if you've been involved with Sea Lion and the past couple times you have, you'll understand that. You know, it would have been great to fill up one ship and see it about to sink from such a great catch. But guess what? They beckoned unto their partners. They beckoned unto their partners. They said, hey guys, we could really use you, we could really use your boat, we could really use your resources. That word partner means this. It means share. So when we're partnering, we're also sharing. There was a point where First Baptist Church of Eaton and Bearing Precious Seed became partners. We came to you at some level and said, hey, we could use you. We could use your people. We could use your resources. And ever since then, we've been partners. We've been sharers. And so now, not only is one church getting to reap a blessing, and not only First Baptist Church of Milford, but also your church as well are able to reap the blessing. Now there's two churches reaping the blessing. And as I know, there's a network of churches that are coming with us, the partners that are helping us, and we're all reaping the blessings. They were able to fill two ships, not just one. And I think about what God's doing, and I'm excited to see this church and how it's moving forward and what God's doing here. And a lot of that has to do with being obedient in areas like this, about partnering together and sharing the blessing. In verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What a revelation there for Peter. My 6th point this morning is this: God's presence and power should humble us. God's presence and power should humble us. See, Peter came to a revelation here that, first of all, he came to Jesus in humility, knowing this, that the only contributing factor that he had to these fish, this multitude of fish, the only thing that he contributed to this was one thing, and that was being obedient to what Jesus had told him to do. That's the only thing. He knew it was all Jesus that did it all. The only thing that he could give was that he was being obedient to what Jesus wanted him to do. Can I tell you this morning, we should be the same way. We should have the same humility this morning when it comes to what we've seen God be able to do, whether it's through your church or whether it's even just for the past few days. And I'm grateful that everybody came out, but really, Jesus is the one that deserves the glory. He's the one that's really going to do the work. I mean, this is just part of it. And that's why we take the time to pray and ask God to use it, because we need him to be all about it. But we need to have his, we need to, God's presence and power should humble us. It should do something to us. And lastly, in verse 11 this morning, the Bible says this. It says, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. My last point this morning is this: God's plan is bigger than ours. God's plan is bigger than ours. I really did appreciate Pastor's study this morning in the Sunday school. And just, we need to be willing to give ourselves to God's plan. You know, one of the things that God has shown me is this, is that there is so much work that needs to be accomplished. And I know this, that he wants to do it through his people. And I know there's people sitting in pews all across this country and all around this world that he's just waiting for one thing, when they say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do." See, he and his partners were astonished by what God did. Speaking of Peter, they were astonished. They couldn't believe what they saw. Could you imagine? Again, they went through the whole night. They probably had the best, probably put the best practices in place all through the night, and probably maybe changed things around and tried their best to get any fish with coming up with zero. And they were astonished by what they saw Jesus do. Let me ask you this morning. Have you allowed what God has done to affect you personally? I mean, the things that you have seen God do, maybe through this church or through your personal life, through your own salvation, have you allowed it to affect you personally and trust him more with your life? You know, these men here, they just didn't just drop their nets. They dropped their vocation. They dropped their livelihood. To do what? To follow Jesus. I looked it up. A boat was an expensive thing back then. It was an expensive item to have. I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, we could come up with all kinds of excuses not to follow Jesus. Trust me, I did it. When God called me into the ministry, I said, "Lord, I'll do it, but..." And for 6 months, I had a miserable life. And I finally said, "Okay, Lord, I will do it. I will do it." See, some of you have allowed your resources to be borrowed for the work of the Lord, like Peter did, his boat. You said, "Sure, Lord, I'm not using this right now. You can use it, but I'll need it back eventually." Some of you have given your resources, your time, your finances to fund the work of the Lord through this church here, and that's great. And I'm great. I'm glad. But can I tell you this as well? Some of you, God wants you and all of you. He wants all of you. I don't know what exactly that means for each person, but I know this, he wants all of you. Does that mean he wants you to be a missionary in Africa? I don't know. But I know this, he wants all of you. And in closing this morning, I thought about this progression that I feel like Peter went through this day, and of course this is like one day, I feel like I've gone through the same progression myself, but it took me a lot longer than one day. This same progression that Peter happened in his life happened to mine. This progression of, "Lord, I'm not using this right now, so you can use it. But again, I'm going to need it back. You know, it's convenient right now, so I don't really need it. I got other things going on," or whatever the case may be. So you can use it now, but I'm going to need it back later. That's okay. And that progressed to, Lord, I've seen you do amazing things. I've seen you do amazing things. You can have whatever I have. You can have whatever I have, whatever it is, whatever the money has, whatever resources I have. I'll be at churches every time the doors open, but you just can't have me. I'll give you everything else but me. To where the point where Peter was, Lord, I will forsake it all. I will forsake it all. I will forsake the comfort. I will forsake the security. And I will follow you. And I will become a fisher of men. I will become a fisher of men. And so maybe that's where you're at personally this morning. I want you to think about that this morning. Is that where you're at personally? Are you somewhere in that progression? And then for the church this morning, can I tell you this? I am grateful. We, as a ministry, are grateful for you that we can come and beckon upon our partners, unto our partners to come alongside of us, to help us with the load, with a heavy load. There's so much work that needs to be accomplished. And I pray that you receive the blessing for it. I really do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I thank you again for yourself. Thank you for your goodness to us this morning. Thank you for, God, showing us from your word, Lord, a challenge, Lord, a testimony, Lord, how you've worked in Peter's life. And, of course, there's so much more in your word that shows this, and we know that you were working in Peter's life before this even, and his time with Jesus, Lord. And Lord, help us to be willing to give up our resources. Help us to be willing to give up our funds, whatever you want us to give, Lord, to you. Lord, these are gifts. Lord, help us eventually to be willing to give up ourselves. God, whatever that is, whatever that may be, Lord, I pray this morning that, one, if we don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we would give our soul to you, Lord, that we would give our life, Lord. But Lord, this short life that we have on this earth, Lord, I pray that as well that we would be willing today, if we have not already, to say, yes, Lord, whatever your will is, I will follow, Lord. God, I pray you'd help us with that this morning, God, and I pray that you'd be glorified through it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor.